And we are spending some time again today with our series of interviews we call Aloha Broadcast Park. There have been literally hundreds of people over the years who have been on the air on this radio station, dozens of people in the news world, probably 100 DJs over on our sister station, The Vine. Maybe just pulling numbers out of the air. Among those, there are a few people who really stand out for me that I spent a lot of airtime with. And joining me right now is one of those, king of morning news for 7 years on these two stations, Scott Craig, live with us on the phone here this morning. Hello there.
Wow, that was a great intro. One of hundreds, folks, period. Oh, man.
I was hoping you would, see how finely I shaved that.
I think I worked with probably 50 of those. Yeah. It came and went so fast. Man.
I used to have a policy for salespeople. After a while, I decided, I'll learn your name if you're here in 6 months. That was my new approach to that. It was a lot
well, I believe that you actually got a salary, irregardless of if you could make a sell. And then, after that 6 months period, you were on your own. You
right.
had to actually be bringing money in. So exactly. That was a good cutoff.
Exactly. So, Scott Craig, let's hear a little bit about the before you came to Napa story. You grew up in Santa Barbara. When did you ever first get into radio? I don't even know.
Well, I got a broadcasting degree at San Diego State, and then followed a girl to Fort Collins, Colorado, worked for a group of stations there, and then was news director for a group of stations in Vail. And as you know, that group of stations that Margie was talking about the other day, we had two in Aspen, one in Steamboat Springs, that was owned by Charlie Moss. So the time came where he was looking to sell those pieces, and was really looking at the most valuable assets that he had in the company, and that was clearly me. And so he needed to move me out to Napa before he sold those pieces. So, I was remembering it was, I think it was Don Schrack. And if we're pulling out big names here, folks.
Boy.
And he was one of those original news radio guys that really, before news radio really took off, before really they invented the radio. And he came out, and they were having a big conference. I don't think you had come out at that point. And
I think I was in New Mexico maybe during...
Maybe. That was 90. That would have been 96.
96,
I came out in 97.
Right.
So anyway, it was great working with... Don was general manager for a few years at the Napa stations. And just a great news radio mind.
I don't believe I've whipped out my Don Schrack impersonation so far this week.
Oh man! I can't believe he didn't burn down the broadcast park. I mean, the man never not had a cigarette in his hand. It was just chain smoking 24/7.
Yep.
I mean, he was drinking coffee all day long as well.
He had the biggest coffee mug I've ever seen. It had to have been 64 ounces, and he would start in on it at the crack of dawn, and then you'd have a meeting or, he'd be standing in the lobby, and he'd say, I got to run down to the sandbox. Hang on a second.
That's it.
I used to work in a little market down south of Bakersfield they call Los Angeles. That's my Don Schrack. I haven't done that one in a while. That hurt my throat.
That was beautiful.
Yeah.
They really brought me back there. The fat farmer he used to call himself.
He was a character and a half.
He was.
There was a whole transition thing in there that during the Charlie Moss time, like you said, Charlie bought KVON and KVY in 95 or 96 mm-hmm. when it took over. And that's when I went to Taos to do a new station for him, right? And then after 6 months down there, when it became obvious it wasn't going to work out, they decided to bring me back to Napa and fired a couple of people to make room for
great.
Me. Yeah.
That was great.
I was so popular then when I walked in.
We can't afford to bring Barry back. Well, let's bring him back and you're gone. it was wonderful times back at the radio station.
Talk about
creating great. Barry's coming back.
Toxic environment. But we made the best of it, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
We did. So I remember the first time I was on KVON was I had breaking news in Vail, and Margie Schaefer calls me and she says, Scott, we want to put you on. But she, they ended up putting me on the afternoon gig with the gal that did the UFO Flat Earth show. And I didn't really know it at the time, so Marky was kind of talking up, oh, yeah, we're right outside of San Francisco, big market. And we had, I had seen outside my window at the radio station in Vail that they were searching helicopters up at the 14,000-foot peak up there at Vail, and I couldn't figure out what they were doing, so I called the sheriff's department and asked what they were searching for up there, and it turns out it was this Air Force jet that this guy had taken off from in the desert and had plowed into the mountain like suicide by jet, and they didn't know where he was. Like, he'd gone off the radar, and so there were theories that somehow he was gone, you know, was working for the Russians or something. Anyway, so of course, KVON got me on the air, and it turned, do you think he's still alive? Do you think somehow the aliens got him? And it was a bizarre interview.
Do you think the aliens got him? Somebody asked you that? That would have had to have been Patricia.
Yeah, good old Patricia Steele, Vox,
Steer. She's back to Patricia Steer. She was Francesca Vox on the air for some time.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. Another interesting character from Broadcast Park history.
Yeah, just personalities. I mean, the people that we got to work with, you know, and some that we're still really close with, and others that you know, they're just wonderful personalities that you just look back on those days and go, wow.
I've had a struggle trying to remember everyone. You know, I'm like, I'm going through my mind, who am I forgetting that I should have on the air? And you know, some people I just can't remember, other people I don't want to talk to anymore, I guess, so I've been avoiding them.
Well, I think that's the way it is in life.
Let me ask you this. When you think about how many – we did the show together for 7 years. Is that correct?
Gosh, yeah. Yeah, so it was about six or seven.
97. Well, that's 97 up to when I left, basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So during that time frame, what stands out in your mind about the news coverage? What were the big stories and the issues that you were focused on?
I kind of had this career, Barry, where whenever there was something big happening – we were always off the air. You know, Marky was talking about this, that, and the other thing, and don't you remember, you know. Well, yeah, I remember those things, but I wasn't part of them. And then we had, you know, the chimney quake or a fire or flooding, and we were always off the air. I mean, I kid you not, 9/11, like every reporter's, you know, their big story of their career, where were you on 9/11? I was on Kauai.
That's right.
I was on vacation.
That's right.
I mean, I couldn't catch a break to get my that big gig in San Francisco, you know. So there were a lot of, I mean, we did flood coverage, and there was a lot of, you know, we had a lot of big news stories. But I think probably the most important, and Marcy touched on it during the span of my career, was definitely the flood control project. And you look at, you know, because we try to think as journalists that we're changing the world, you know, that we're, you know, shedding light on bad things and making the world a better place. And I think that's definitely one of those things. Somehow we were able to pass that tax measure for people to tax themselves. Mm-hmm. That was an impressive thing. We had to get 2/3, remember?
Yep.
66. Oh my gosh. Yep. And that was just, what a Herculean feat. Mm-hmm. And how amazing has this project been? I mean, you look at the bullet train project that they're trying to get with, you know, we're talking about eminent domain and all that. Oh, forget it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What a nightmare.
Yeah.
You know, but somehow they were able to pull this flood control project off.
Yeah, that's a good point. March of 98 was that vote. And then since it passed and a lot of news was revolving around it for the next several years, it's interesting to put all these different events into perspective day to day, talking to people, remembering, oh yeah, that's when this was happening, and oh yeah, that was, and you were covering that, and the next person covered this, and this long chain of people, you know, taking care of the community, as it were. I'm going to take a very brief pause here, come back in just a moment. It's Aloha Broadcast Park Week as we get ready to move to the swanky new studios across town. You'll hear more about that in days to come. Right now, brief break, and then we're back, more time with Scott Craig on the radio after these messages.
The A&W in St. Helena is now serving lower-carb breakfast options. Skip the biscuit and try the Fiesta Bowl with egg, cheese, hash browns, savory salsa, and your choice of bacon or sausage. Pair it with a variety of hot or iced espresso drinks. Breakfast is served hot, fast, and fresh Monday through Friday, 6 to 11 a.m., and weekends, 7 to 11 a.m. Only available at your local A&W in St. Helena.
Great Inn Resort and Casino is now hiring full-time security positions. With starting wages up to $18 per hour, work in a fast-paced and fun environment with various shifts available. Apply today at greatinnresortcasino.com.
And we're back. It's Wine Country Live. I'm Barry Martin. Our Aloha Broadcast Park Week continues. Today we're talking with Scott Craig, news director here at KVON, KVYN. For quite a few years, late 90s, early 2000s, and then one of the themes we've discussed with people over the week, Scott, is that we've seen this change in the business itself, and you were here during a period of time when we our news function and the whole station really was contracting. It was more and more difficult to make enough money to pay the bills, and talk about that a little bit. You used to do so much work, you know, compared to the earlier times when we had three or four people working in the news department.
Gosh, I mean, you get up early and you show up. I mean, I was having nightmares of listening to Mark and Tracy talking about the dot matrix printer and having to put the tape in to record Paul Harvey. And, you know, I still have nightmares, Barry, that I'm going to miss the feed. And if you miss the feed, then you don't have any national state news for the rest of the morning. Yep. And, you know, and we didn't have the interwebs, you know, to feed us news stories. So it was, you know, you had to actually gather news stories. You know, and how many times was I on KVON while I was conducting an interview or recording the supervisor's meeting? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're doing four or five different things and trying to keep an ear on the police scanner so you could figure out what was going on. It was a lot of work.
I don't know if people who have not done that kind of thing could even imagine. Give a little bit of a picture. I would come in the morning. Scott would already be here. And by the way, that's something I don't really like about the new version of this morning show. I have to make my own coffee. That's really a problem.
That's ridiculous.
Anyway, I would come in and, you know, places up and running. Scott's been working for an hour before I even get here. And he's back there playing back. Didn't we tape the council meetings on video? VHS? Didn't you do that?
No, we were able to set up an audio cable that went into the cassette recorder.
That's it.
That was back there.
So Scott's back there scanning through council meeting audio, pulling out actualities, writing a different story while he's listening to that tape. Like you said, the scanner's going, and then you'd run in and do a newscast here and a newscast there and then back to the audio. And it was like, I don't know, a five-hour frenzy, one person doing the work of five people.
Yeah, and invariably, while you were on air, then that's when the on-duty sergeant would call with the report of what that crime was that was going on, and of course you couldn't take it, you know, and then John Johnson wants to do a funny bit on the Vine, and he really needs you over there, and so I've got to wave you off, right, because you've got the three studios that are lined up, and the glass goes all the way through, so I'm on the first room, and you're at the third room, and we're waving at each other, trying, you know, oh.
Exactly. Making hand signals and I got to go. Let me off. And it was wild times. Amazing we survived it. Probably the most photographed, most documented event that you and I participated in was a very special episode of what was called Party on the Patio. Can you describe for the audience what the Party on the Patio was to begin with?
Well, somehow people were calling in with their business or something. We were pulling names out of the hat. I think Virginia was in charge of that, you know, and she'd have to do a background check on whoever was going to join us at the local Mexican restaurant up Valley. Is this the Party on the Patio?
I feel like I don't know if we did it at Compadres. Are you thinking of Compadres? The main place was Zapata's. Remember Zapata's?
You're talking about Taco Tuesdays. And oh, yes. Oh, and the infamous... Oh, I see where you're going with this.
You knew I would get there.
Oh yeah. Well,
so what year?
Los Angeles Dodger fan.
Yes.
And then having to work in the Bay Area, I didn't think it was going to be a big deal. But apparently, this is before the Giants had actually won a World Series. So there was just these people in the Bay Area, Barry. They just, you know, hate Dodger fans. And so, well, at one point during our career, I made a bet that the Dodgers would finish ahead of the Giants mm-hmm. this season. And when that didn't happen, mm-hmm. then you shaved my head air, which doesn't really work for radio, by the way. But, boy, we took a lot of pictures. And yes, I still have those. And, yeah. and that was pretty horrible.
That was
Zapata's.
Yeah, oh Zapata's. And that was the moment that we discovered that some people have a beautiful head and they're meant to have a shaved head, and some people don't.
And we had the seniors tournament right after that at Silverado. You remember?
Yes.
I got the bandana over my head.
Yeah.
I got more autographs from Chi-Chi Rodriguez. All those guys, I thought I was dying of cancer. Everybody felt sorry for me. Oh, my gosh.
The other activity that we enjoyed a few times was doing the hard work and research that was necessary for the Winery of the Week.
Winery of the Week. Yeah. Oh, gosh. It seems like, yeah, and then we would go and do that to deal at the Mexican food restaurant, mm-hmm. and then, of course, the Napa Valley wine auction. Did we ever not have a drink in our hand?
No. I think it was necessary to, you know, it's research, and it's the world we lived in.
Gary, I've got a great idea. How about at lunchtime, we just go wine tasting, tell them we'll put it on the radio, and then they'll let us taste their best wines for free. How about that? That'll sell, right?
That's what programming is all about, you know, is coming up with great ideas.
We did our best to help these salespeople out, you know?
Yep. So after your tenure here at KVO and KVYN, I don't remember what the sequence of events was. Had I already left before you left? Is that the way?
No, I think you were still...
hanging around.
You were still there.
Okay,
and you were still there. And
did I fire you?
No.
Okay.
No, you didn't fire me.
Okay.
I was offered a job that I, you know, there was no way I was going to be able to take it to actually feed anybody in my family, and I'd already had a foot in the door at the local TV station over in Santa Rosa, mm-hmm. so I just, you know, moved over there and then was co-anchoring the morning news over there. And that was an earlier in the morning gig. I'd have to get up, drive to Santa Rosa, produce 3 hours of news, and then I would get on and co-anchor from 7 to 9. Hmm. And that was quite the gig. And again, it was like I never could get a break. Like the one day, you know, Curtis Kim and I Rochambeau for Scott Sirota, the videographer, and Curtis gets to take him. So that means I have to bring the tripod, set it up, the video camera, and like, tape myself,
mm-hmm.
you know. And, of course, I'm out there doing the Petaluma police dog competition. And you remember this story.
I was going to ask you to tell that story. That's one of my favorites.
Well, somehow I wasn't listening to the police officer's commands as to how this was going to work with the police dog. You know, these are the dogs that jump on the guy that looks like the Michelin Man suit. Well, anyway, I completely didn't hear what he was saying because I was trying to memorize what I was going to say in my stand-up. You know, this was going to be the stand-up, the part where the reporter is on camera. So this is the most important part for me because this is the only way I was going to get a real job in San Francisco. So it had to be perfect. And I was memorizing my lines, not listening to the police officer. Next thing I know, this dog is biting my leg off. It was not good. It was not pretty, you know.
we're not talking about a nip here.
No.
Like he was, torn pants, deep puncture wound.
Yeah, it was not pretty. They rushed me to the police officer threw me in the back of his car, took me to the Petaluma emergency room, and they put that morphine IV in real quick.
Oh, man. And, you know, as much as I feel bad for you when I hear the story, I also feel bad for those cops because can you imagine what they were thinking? You know, like, this is going to be in all the news forever now that I let this reporter get bitten by the police dog.
I saw the tape once while I was in the emergency room, and then the Clear Channel attorneys got a hold of it, and I never saw it again.
Right? Man.
But there was never any suit. I was not... My dad calls me. The first thing he says is, "What town in wine country do we own now?" But no, I didn't sue anybody. And even after I was wrongfully terminated by KVON, I didn't sue anybody there either.
So we're just about out of time. The remainder of the story, after a while, you ended up going back to your hometown there in Santa Barbara, and you have made a wonderful career at the Westmont College since.
That's right. I do all the PR for Westmont College, a small Christian liberal arts college in the Montecito foothills. It's an absolutely wonderful place to send your kids. So things have worked out, and I've got a blended family with five kids, four in high school, one up at Westmont. And so you're catching me, you know, at a bad time, Barry. I'm supposed to be making sandwiches for all these kids right now.
All right. Well, I'll let you get to it. Thanks for sharing your memories and your sparkling personality with us here on the station. And I just want to say one last thing. Keep hanging in there because that big job in San Francisco could still be coming. All right.
Good. All right. That's fantastic. All Thanks, Barry. Good
take
to hear
care,
from you.
Man. All right. Aloha Broadcast Park Week with Scott Craig.